I think that often it can be so easy for us to not realize, you know, fail to realize or even dismiss the practical principles that should be part of our everyday lives, part of our everyday thinking, part of our everyday attitudes, part of our personality that in turn govern how we approach our politics. Because again, however God wants us to approach our life is the exact same way he wants us to approach our politics. We cannot separate the two. Our personality governs how we approach life. Our personality determines how we approach our politics. And as the Lord Jesus said, it is out of the abundance of the heart that everything flows, whether it's adultery, or whether it's faithfulness, whether it's lying, slandering, gossiping, whether it's telling the truth and trying to cover a multitude of sins, it comes out of what is in the heart in abundance. So as the Lord looks at us and he observes why we decide what we decide, why we decide to vote for this candidate, why we choose this position. As he looks at the way we respond, even when information is given to us that can reveal that the position we have taken is not the right one, that what we are basing our thinking on is incorrect. The information we have based our decision on is incorrect, inaccurate, false. If we choose to reject the information that reveals the truth about any number of issues, sure, we're going to do a great job of justifying the reason that we're rejecting the information. But the Lord God Almighty, who knows the heart, and sees what's really going on in the heart and in the mind of each individual, when he evaluates, when he assesses, you can best believe, because he is God, perfectly true, he's only going by what he knows is true. When he observes us, does he see us to be merciful people? Still in Matthew chapter 5, now verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Interestingly enough, that one helps us. It's not the only one, but that reminds us of what God said through the prophet Micah when he was telling his people. And remember now, telling his people, not those who would be considered pagans, those who were considered to be his people. What they should do, how they should be. Because that's what the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 is all about. How we are supposed to be. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, the Lord God, speaking to his people, said, he has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, which essentially means to do justice, and to love mercy, which is basically kindness. When you cast your vote, and I'm, you know, talking a lot about voting because, again, this particular topic, this particular subject is love and politics. When you cast your vote, and I'm not just looking at the politicians themselves either. Certainly, the politicians fall into this same category that we the people fall into. You have plenty of people who claim to be followers of Christ, and they are very sincere. They're not perfect, just like I am not perfect, but I am sincere. There are many people who are sincere. None of us is perfect, but many of us are sincere. And we really are striving for perfection. We really are trying to allow the Holy Spirit to have more and more freedom to shape our attitudes the way God wants our attitudes to be shaped. So that we develop the character that God wants us to have, which essentially is a godly character, typified by holiness, righteousness, purity. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to do justice, and to love mercy. Not just talk about mercy, not just clap when other people talk about mercy, but to love mercy. And let me tell you something. If we love mercy, we are going to see to it that we are merciful people. Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. What does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. So many people are so full of themselves. So many people who profess to be followers of Christ are filled with so much pride. Absolutely refuse to admit that they have bad reasons, selfish reasons for voting the way they vote. Refuse to admit that they have hearts filled with hatred. Refuse to admit that they have hearts filled with malice. Refuse to admit that their hearts are filled with hostility and that all of their voting is based on who they believe will cause life to be miserable for those other people. And again, the irony of it, as I've discussed in times past, the people who have decided that they hate that group of people, the people who don't necessarily hate those other people, but they join forces with the ones who do hate those other people, so that they'll be accepted by the ones whose hearts are filled with hatred, so that even if things go wrong for the rest of their group, they themselves, as individuals, will be okay because they help support the ones whose hearts are filled with hatred and hostility and malice. When God looks at why you vote the way you vote, is he pleased with your motive?